Certain information set forth in the podcast may contain forward-looking statements under applicable security laws. These statements are not guarantees of future performance, and undue reliance should not be placed on them. Although forward-looking statements contained in this presentation are based upon what management of the company believes to be reasonable assumptions, there can be no assurance that forward-looking statements will prove to be accurate. LifeSci Advisors and the company undertake no obligation to update forward-looking statements in the podcast should circumstances or management's estimates or opinions change. This podcast is for general information purposes only. It is not an offer or solicitation to buy securities and does not constitute investment advice.
We are generating the intelligence from the data, and then we are providing you a recommendation. And once you are getting a recommendation that depends on your own personalized data, the chances that you're going to adopt this recommendation is much higher because it's not a general recommendation. It's a recommendation that related to you, Neil, and everything depends on the data that we are collecting from the application and the medical devices that we are utilizing. And this is what makes it so powerful.
Hello, my name is Neil Canavan, and this is Benchtop Bios, a podcast series by LifeSci Partners where we introduce healthcare investors to the people and the pipelines driving the biotech sector forward. My guest today is Aris Raphael. He is the CEO and board member of Dario Health. And this is Benchtop Bio's J.P. Morgan Jump Off, a brief taste from the banquet of companies that will be attending the 2023 J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference in San Francisco. Aris, welcome. Now, if you can please start us off with the elevator pitch for Dario Health.
Hi, Neil. Yeah, so Dario Health is a software company. In fact, it's a digital health company that is managing people with chronic conditions. The company started with diabetes, expanded into other metabolic diseases like hypertension, weight loss, and through M&A, we also expanded into musculoskeletal and behavioral health. We are super consumer-centric, and we started B2C, and these days we are selling directly to employers and health plans, which is where the majority of the revenue is coming from.
All right, I'm going to ask you how you specifically use your technology in disease states to help patients. But first, just a bit about you. You've been in the healthcare sector for about 10 years and with this company for 10 years. I'm assuming you've had other offers, other opportunities. Why is Dario Health such a compelling opportunity to you?
Yeah, so the healthcare transformation is the big opportunity. I think that healthcare is very healthcare professional-centric and not consumer-centric. And we have seen in other industries that industries were transforming to be much more consumer-centric, and it didn't happen in healthcare. Healthcare is the most complicated industries to be transformed. And when you are looking into chronic disease, it's $3 trillion out of $4 trillion spent in the U.S. And if you want to change the way that people are managing their chronic conditions, you need to approach the problem from the user, not from the doctor. And it takes time to build a technology that is extremely consumer-centric and eventually get it adopted by users and then by the health systems, which is mainly employers and health plans. And we are one of the leaders of this transformation because for many years we were operating as a direct-to-consumer company. We collected billions of data points, but after 6 years of data collection, we managed to prove to health plans that we have one of the best solutions in the market. And this is what makes our growth at the moment exciting, because we have assets that no one has in terms of data collection and consumer simplicity.
All right, now let's talk about how we're using this asset. As I mentioned, we're doing several different disease states. There are five in all. Some involve metabolic disorders, such as diabetes. The others will be musculoskeletal, which is pain syndromes, and behavioral, which can do and deal with stress or anxiety and depression. Now, describe to me, how are you exactly using these technologies? Give me some examples of how it actually works.
Practically, we are, for each of the clinical disorder or the each chronic condition, we are owning all the pieces that the user will have to use in order to manage his chronic condition. So for diabetes, for example, we have a software application. And as part of the software application, we have our own proprietary medical device that can be integrated directly with the smartphone, which is integrated into a health coach. And everything is being backed by a very powerful software. So think about us as a software company that also have the medical devices, proprietary medical devices that are integrated, and some kind of coaching services that are also integrated into the platform. So a user that is embarking on our clinical program is going to get a specific application, is going to get the medical device, is going to go through a screening, will be introduced to our coach, and we're going to help him manage his chronic condition from various aspects like nutrition, lifestyle management, medication management, other elements that related to improving his diabetes situation. Well, we're going to be alongside with the user through the application 24/7 in a way that he can improve clinical outcomes. So the way to think about it is that in the traditional healthcare industry, someone have a diabetes, is going to go to the doctor will give him a prescription, and then he will say goodbye, let's see you in the next quarter. Okay, so on average, you will get like 12 minutes a quarter. We are giving the user overall integrated time with our software application, messages, coach support. We are increasing the 12 minutes to around 90 to 100 minutes every quarter that is getting support in order to improve clinical outcomes, because we believe that managing chronic condition is something that is happening in between the doctor visits, not in the doctor office. That's the whole thesis of what we are doing, and we have the data to prove that.
So whenever I hear about a new technology or a new way of looking at how to treat patients, I always think about adoption, because your partner has to be a physician somewhere. When you discuss this opportunity, this technology with physicians, what is their general feedback to you? They're immediately recognized like, oh, we need this, or does it present another new thing that they have to do?
So this is the traditional thought process that the healthcare industry had. You cannot adopt anything without the doctor. Okay? When I'm talking about the consumerization of health, I'm opening the market for the idea that users will adopt tools and clinical programs that are not necessarily need to be approved by every doctor. And we are approaching directly the payers and specifically health plans and employers to convince them to pay for the solution. And we are showing them concrete data of improvement of clinical outcomes. So it's not that we are doing something against the doctor decision, just the understanding that there are a lot of things that doesn't relate to the doctor. For example, if you are a diabetic, when you are consuming relatively high amount of carbs on a daily basis, I can explain it to you and I can help you change your behavior without the need to get the doctor advice, because it's a straightforward diet program that you need to adopt in order to improve your diabetes. I'm not going to tell you, hey, don't eat carbs and I'm going to take you off insulin. I'm going to tell you I'm going to improve your situation by adopting habits that makes sense. So the whole idea that the doctor is the broker between the disease to the patient, this is something that we are trying to get rid of. The doctor is not a broker anymore. He is a supporter, he is an enabler, and the day-to-day is what's important when you're managing chronic conditions.
All right, so just one more question about how it actually works. Okay, I'm the end user. I have diabetes, let's say type 1 diabetes, serious form. Do I get alerts on my phone? How am I being communicated with?
Yes, you get alerts on your phones. You have a real-time alerts. So, for example, if you're going to get into a hypo when you're checking your blood sugar levels, your family member can get alert with a GPS location and pointer to Google Map for where you are. If I'm going to recognize that after 90 days you had a lot of highs that are far from your home GPS location, I'm going to tell you, hey, Neil, please note that when you are eating a lot outside of your home, you are having a higher blood sugar level. You might want to consider eat more at home. So everything is related to data. We are generating the intelligence from the data, and then we are providing you a recommendation. And once you are getting a recommendation that depends on your own personalized data, the chances that you're going to adopt this recommendation is much higher, because it's not a general recommendation. It's a recommendation that related to you, me, and everything depends on the data that we are collecting from the application and the medical devices that we are utilizing. And this is what makes it so powerful.
All right, so then let's talk about the other side of it, which would be the payers. You alluded to the amount of money involved in these disease states. what sort of reactions are you getting from payers? You say, hey, you know, I think I can help you here.
This is the big revolution that we did in the last 2 years, because until 2 years ago, we were a B2C company. We were selling our solution. People were literally paying out of pocket for whatever we are providing. And people were excited because for the first time, they started to get solution that is very, very consumer-centric. All the experience that we have on the medical device and also on the application is extremely good. We are top-rated at the App Store. We have like more than 23,000 reviews with 4.9 stars. Net Promoter Score 77. This is something that is unheard in the healthcare industry in terms of user experience. Once we managed to get a lot of users utilizing it, paying out of pocket, and we had enough data, the biggest clinical study that was done was for 40,000 users that were utilizing our technology in real time with real data and real life. So with all these assets, we started the transformation from B2C to B2B, which is an asset that other companies doesn't have. And this is something that helped us convince health plans and employers to adopt the solution that we have and eventually to fund or to pay on behalf of their insurers and employees and the technology that we are selling. And at the moment, they are paying us on a per member per month kind of base and a membership program per every user that is being managed on our platform. So think about us like a SaaS company, software as a service company. We are providing software enablement to our users, and we have payers, employers, and health plans that are paying on a monthly basis for every user that is on the platform.
That's excellent. Okay, now there's validation from the payers. You also have validation from a big pharma partner, and that would be Sanofi. What is the relationship?
Yeah, so you are right. Just to emphasize, one of the big payers that is working with us is Aetna. We have other payers that are working with us. We have other partners. The biggest one is Sanofi. Sanofi is a pharma company that believes that eventually long-term users are going to be managed in a digital way. If you think about Sanofi, they are touching millions of people every day, but they don't know a lot about these patients because they don't have a digital access to them. They're selling them medication, but the medication doesn't have any digital capturing. And the way that we are envisioning the future is that eventually users are going to consume what we are selling, which is digital therapy, and what Sanofi are selling, which is chemical therapy, hence drugs, the medication. So practically, in the future, we're going to see these two things integrated together. So the existing agreement with Sanofi is $30 million that is being deployed by Sanofi in order to do integrated development of the platform. The future platform is going to be integrated. Plus, we have a lot of insights that we are providing Sanofi and a lot of collaboration around the data and how we are creating what we are calling personalization for users. We have a lot of biochemical data, the relationship between blood sugar level and food and so on. And we see this relationship being expanded into 2023.
All right. So you use the word future. I'm going to ask you about the future now. I have three more questions. The first is, what is your nearest term catalyst there at Dario?
Yeah. So overall, I think that the brand of the company started to go above the radar. And with clients like Aetna and Sanofi, we have partners like Virgin Pulse, Solera. I think that we're going to see more strategic partnerships that are going to be accomplished in the very short term. We think that we're going to get at least another couple of health plans in the very short term. We were doubling the number of accounts in 2022 from 50 accounts to 100 accounts. And we think we can accelerate this growth into 2023. And because we have a lot of partners, we think that the number of clients are going to grow exponentially this year. So we think that Q1 is going to be super exciting for us.
All right. And now the last two questions. One is just straightforward about money. What's your current runway?
So we closed Q3 with $57 million in cash. As I told, we have also additional deal with Sanofi for $30 million that is in fact non-dilutive for the data and the development services that we have. So it's something that gives us the company reduced the burn rate by 40% year over year, and we continue We're going to continue the reduction in the burn rate because all the financial profile, as we presented in Q3, is improving. Top line, bottom line, OPEX, all these parameters are improving drastically. All in all, we see a run rate into mid to end of 2024. So we are still very well capitalized, not including the other options that we have.
All right. And finally, San Francisco. What sort of conversations are you looking to have with investors at JP Morgan? Do you have a specific mission, or are you just there to remind the street of the excitement of your story and maybe meet a few people?
First of all, we view ourselves as a company that is leading the whole area of digital health and digital therapeutics. The whole category was beaten in Wall Street in the last 18 months. I think that we are in a place that is it's not realistic at all. So I'm there to mention the market that eventually digital health and consumer-centric healthcare is the future. And I think that as a leader and as a company that is part of the Digital Therapeutics Alliance, we want to lead this category. And we think that eventually investors will get back into this kind of investment. So we are there to remind them what we are doing. We are there to explain to them that from a fundamental standpoint, our business is improving. We don't see recession. We don't see slowdown. We see a significant improvement in all our fundamentals. And we think that the company today is probably 30 times better than 18 months ago. And it's probably 20 times cheaper than 18 months ago. This is something that doesn't make sense, and I want to explain it to investors face-to-face, one by one, and get them excited.
Fantastic. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap. My guest today is Erez Raphael. He is the CEO of Dario Health. Erez, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me today. Hope to see you and all our listeners in San Francisco.
Thank you so much, Neil, for hosting.
Thank you for listening to this week's Benchtop Bios. I hope that this episode will serve as yet another data point to guide you in your investment strategies. If you wish to hear more of LifeSci's Benchtop Bios, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google. Also, if there's a company or a particular executive you'd like to get to know, I do take requests. Please send those to ncanavan@lifesciadvisors.com. Until next week then, goodbye, or for that matter, good sell, whatever boosts your portfolio.